everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com forums. That's gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLisi, gamertag Murphy's Law. And today's April 19th, 2011. And as you might have already guessed, we are back to an international flavor. Hey, joining me this week, speaking of international, Mr. Mike Chin.
What up? That's a crowd noise. I've been reading this article, right? And it's about how different shows ended. You know, like the saddest endings to shows, sitcoms, and stuff. And it, do you know how? Or this is the title: the seven most soul-crushing series finales in TV history, right? Yeah. And some of them are just whoa. Right? Do you know how Alf? Remember Alf from the 80s?
Yeah.
Do you know how that ended?
Did they kill Alf?
They not only killed him, right? This is the quote. Intense heat, freezing cold, high voltage, toxic substances, pain, sleep deprivation, deprivation, and of dissection, right?
Right.
And, but so basically what happens at the end of Alf is, like, he goes, they're going to pick him up, they're going to reform his old planet, and they're going to pick him up, and then they see some, like, alien task force people show up, and the aliens get scared, the ones that are going to pick him up, they fly away, right? And then it ends with all the people just standing around him. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? And earlier in that episode, they explain what they're going to do to him. That's what I just read out. So Alf gets fucked up. The other one is, remember dinosaurs?
No.
Not mama.
That ends with them, with the dad, fucking up the whole planet, the environment, yeah?
Extinction?
And they all die. Every one of them dies.
Oh, hey, but you know what? The number one saddest way to end a show? 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, well, yeah. Overcharged one of the actors and then he gets addicted to cocaine. But, I mean, Dallas, do you know how Dallas ended?
I don't.
Well, basically, JR, right?
Right.
There's the famous case of who shot JR, but
right.
Like, you know, that was several years later. Did you know that JR shot himself at the end
poetic
of Dallas?
Poetic justice. Who shot JR? JR.
Right, because he was the whole episode, an angel was showing what life would be like if he wasn't around, and it turns out that angel was a demon. Right, and he says, you should shoot yourself. And he does. What the hell is going on? He's a man.
I'll throw one in the ring. Sopranos. That was a terrible ending.
Oh, that cut to black, like mid-sentence.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That was terrible.
Yeah. Much like the show should have last week.
Third rock from the sun. Third rock from the sun. Do you know how that ended?
No.
No.
All right, this is my last one. There's a couple more, but I'll move on. But you know how, like, there was all aliens or whatever.
Right,
and they're
going
to go back to their home planet. But obviously, the main character, Dick Solomon, his kind of wife was a human, yeah?
Right.
And, like, she was going to go back to the planet with them. And she kind of chickens out at the last minute. She's like, I can't do it. I can't leave Earth. Right? So what he does, he smacks her on the back, and that loses her memory. He knocks her out. And he just goes, well, see you then.
That's actually brilliant. I like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of forgetting about things, hey, Mr. Richard Primrose is with us today.
Yeah, you've probably gathered that already, but yeah. You're all right, everybody.
Gamertag?
My gamertag, as always, is Skullduggera. Yeah, job done.
I didn't give my tag gamertag, but, you know, you can just guess it.
Yeah, Skullduggera. And Mike Chin 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 Chinny. But you can't get that many digits on.
No, can't.
No.
And secret little known fact, if you listen to the outtakes, you might hear something very insightful about Mr. Richard Primrose. From a very unlikely source.
Yes.
I will just leave that hanging out there for the listeners. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, hey, let's move on. Let's, this is a video game podcast. I suppose we should tell the people why Mr. Christopher Matthew isn't here for 2 weeks in a row now. I know you guys were trying to cover for him last week, By the way, I do appreciate the grandpa comments. Don't think I'd slip past me.
You're assuming that I remember what I did last week.
True, true. The drugs
I
have.
I cannot remember what I did yesterday. So.
Yeah. But no, Chris is he's. I mean, some would say doing American things, but it's subversive kind of stuff. We can't really talk about it. It's super high end espionage, like military things that are top secret. Could potentially involve diaper changing. Could involve grade changing, grading of papers, that kind of thing.
It's probably coming up to one of the most busiest times of academic year, especially right. for me. So I was assuming for him, and also one member of his family is shitting everywhere. I am talking about Chris himself,
sure.
but he also has a baby
yeah.
to look at. So.
And honestly, though, poor excuses. Poor excuses for not
know,
on
the
show. Why the hell are you not putting all that aside? Right. Yeah. Get on the show, Chris. We expect better of you.
I'm the show. I've yeah. got a, you know, a degree to finish, but I'm on the show.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, yeah. So that's it. It's the Three Amigos this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of about that time, Mike, that we talk about what we've been playing.
Jesus Christ. This
I know. It sneaks up on you.
Last week, I did it in post. All these sound effects I did in post. It was an illusion, people.
It was illusion. It was. I could, but I'm a lazy son of a bitch, Mike.
Yeah. 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 So I'm just stall it, Greg. Stall it.
I can stall with the best of them. We will talk video games very shortly. And quite a bit of indie games to talk about.
Really?
Surprisingly enough, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I never would have guessed that.
Did I stall long enough?
Yeah, oh, we're ready now. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, brilliant. Here we go.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
You know, Mike, one of these days, maybe I will be generous and actually start doing those in post-edit, but... Like I said, I am lazy. And there is a certain amount of fun to surprising you with it every week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you see it coming and then like 2 seconds later you forget about it.
Yeah, it's like I see the car coming but I choose not to move.
You keep thinking, what are those large white orbs that are coming at me?
Oh, maybe they're going to say hello. Like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when Mos Def thinks that a car is a human. Well, that he gets run over. So.
Yeah. Mike, we're gonna talk to you first.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Games. Games that you've been playing in particular.
Done.
No, you've
finished.
Been playing something. You've been playing something.
Borderlands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Played Borderlands. I'm level 20 on my second character. This is the second time I've played this game. And
are you achievement whoring on this? Is that what's going on here?
No. Well, I've got most of them.
Right.
Most achievements. So I'm not really, no. I'm just playing it because... I'm playing it with a different person. I've got two best friends. Sorry, let me rephrase that. I know two people, right? And those are the only two people I know. And I'm playing with the other.
They pretend they're your friend, right?
Yeah, they hang around. Like, I pay them to hang around with me.
It's friends by default. Sure,
yes.
Sure.
I say friends. They rob me now and again. You know, it's all good banter. So I play with one. Look, they're very different types of gamers, you know. And okay. Ben, who I'm playing with now. I think you both played with Marshall.
Yeah,
Ben,
I played with Ben.
Ben, he's very picky about what games he likes, but when he likes a game, he's very obsessed with it. You know what I mean? And I knew he would like Borderlands. In fact, I was quite shocked at how quickly he took to it. And he will play every mission. You know what I mean? He plays every mission. He'll do everything he can, and he bothers me every day to play this game. Sadly, I can't. But Marsh, who I played it with before, he'll just kind of go through it at his own pace, doesn't care if he gets missions or not. Like, achievements, he'll get them if he wants, but yeah, that first. Ben, he's obsessed with everything like that.
Yeah. Now, so, Ben, if I'm not mistaken, a bit of the shooter fan.
Yes, he likes the Gears and the CODs and stuff, so.
Yeah?
He doesn't like Batman Arkham Asylum. What an idiot. Like, what can you do with someone that doesn't like Batman Arkham Asylum? They think Mass Effect is dumb. What can you know, and he likes Summer Athletic. Games and Olympic Games. He thinks they're brilliant.
Well, you should clearly get a new friend. I mean, that's...
I know. I'm going to sack him. If you want to be my best friend, call me on 6-7. So, I don't know. But, yeah, right. So Borderlands, we're playing that. I played The Dishwasher. That was fun.
Okay.
The Dishwasher's a great game. I really enjoyed it.
Did you try out the Dishwasher Vampire Smiles or whatever it is?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, The Dishwasher, the sequel one, the new one. I really liked that. I think it's...
I liked it.
It's very simple but rewarding, if you know what I mean, Rich. Like, it's just... You're not pressing a lot. It's not complicated. But, like, it just pays off, you know, and it's so stylistic.
I love the style of it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it is a bit, like, you know, gothish and stuff. I'm not really into that, but it's just so... It just looks cool, you know. It's fun.
Hey, you know, that's the back of the box material right there. It's just cool.
It's just cool.
All right, well, I'm going to go next, and we'll keep Rich for last. And I say that because part of what I'm going to talk about, I'm pretty sure Rich will basically be able to cover as well.
Ooh.
So it might make sense to have you jump in on this. But so first things first, Crysis 2, been playing a lot of the single player. I haven't even touched the multiplayer.
I've heard this is brilliant, Crysis 2.
I won't go so far to say brilliant. Yeah. So, okay, the single player is beautiful. And
beautiful.
That is Crysis 2's saving grace, is that gameplay mechanics and the graphics in this game all work really well. It looks fantastic. And it plays silky smooth on a whole. So, you know, when you have those two things going for you, you're going to have a good game. And I'm not saying Crysis 2 is not a good game. But... the story for Crysis 2 and the voice acting for Crysis 2 have a lot to be desired. It almost felt a little like Half-Life in some ways when I first was playing it, because
Stu said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, last night we was talking about Crysis 2 and Stu said exactly the same thing about it.
Yeah.
And I said, "Why do they lock you in rooms and talk to you and don't let you out until they finish talking?"
Kinda.
Which is, yeah.
They do that, and it's more that you have I forgot the name of the guy that kept talking to you in Half-Life. But you have this scientist guy that's talking to you, and the voiceover work by this guy, by the way, is horrible. I mean,
really?
Absolutely horrible. Yeah, the guy doing his voice.
I love horrible voices.
Cheesy, and
you, not, the master of unlocking,
it's not well written. I mean, you know, a perfect example of this. And I found myself laughing out loud, not because it was funny, but you know, he's trying to direct you to meet up with him, to find him, and now remember, you're in the midst of and. Spoiler for anyone who hasn't figured out Crysis 2, alien invasion in New York. You know, you're trying to make your way across basically New York to this apartment that he's held up in. So he's talking to you and he says, you know, you got to come across town to this apartment that my girlfriend left for me before she left town. And I'm like, the context, and I'm not doing it justice, the way he puts this context to the fact that his girlfriend left him this apartment and that's why he's in it. It's like, what relevance does that have to anything? I'm just at this address across town, I think would have been the normal response from anybody out there. But it's things like
that. I think anybody would have gone, how did he live in this?
How did he get this apartment? How did he get there? My girlfriend gave it to me. So it's things like that that just – I mean, they make me just chuckle, and it's just – because it's poor writing. It's not well voice acted. And the opening cutscene, I was all excited for it at first because I had seen video of it without the actual voice. I didn't have the audio, and it looked pretty sweet. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And that was the worst B-movie voice acting delivery I've heard in a long time, and it was just – utter cheese. I mean, it was just a big cheese fest, and it put me off to the game, quite honestly. And for the first half of the game, I struggled playing the game because I was just like, I didn't care about the story. Nothing in this story, by the way, is remotely interesting or makes me want to learn any more about it. I am literally just playing through this because I want to see the next level because it's pretty and trudging through it. And enemy AI at times is great. Like I've watched enemies actually retreat and regroup.
Yeah,
but
I've heard that they flank, but
yeah.
Like sometimes it feels cheap. Is also what I heard.
In the same breath, there's times where the enemy will be standing right in front of you, and they're like red alert. They've seen you. They started shooting you, and you go invisible, and you can wait them out, and they will go back to everything's cool. Nothing's going on here. So,
do they do the old must have been the wind?
Oh yeah, you get a lot of that, especially with the human AI. If
that
I could
human
understand.
Person shooting the shit out of my best friend who I've worked with for 6 years must have been the wind.
And then occasionally you'll get the AI that gets caught up in just geometry, and so they're just sitting there doing like circle dances trying to figure a way out of it because the AI path can't navigate. And so, you know, things like that. And then just the eagle eye of the enemy AI at other times where, like, you'll be, you know, kind of looking over a rooftop down at them, and a guy from the entire opposite side of the map, like you've got like maybe 6 or 7 guys down in front of you close by. None of them see you, but it's the dude across the map that's perched up a little bit higher. He sees you, and he starts shooting at you. And so anyway, so AI, but on a whole, a good game. I'm definitely enjoying it because it is, like I said, it's beautiful. And one of the great things about the game is you see the city start to transform as you're playing through it, as more destruction happens. And this game, by far better than any other game I've played, does like the destructive environments and the feeling of being in New York when things are collapsing. You know, you get all the dust debris flying around. It's hard to see. It does it so well. So, I mean, that alone, I would recommend anyone to at least at minimum rent the game and check it out. So, and I had played the beta on the multiplayer side, so I'm not like overly like I gotta go get, you know, try the multiplayer out. But I do know, I believe Duke really enjoys the multiplayer. I was pretty impressed with it when I played it, so my guess is it's going to be a solid multiplayer experience too. But yeah, so Crysis 2.
I'm interested in it. It sounds like it's the single player is different enough to kind of stand out. I've been hearing some good things.
Yeah, it feels and a little bit, I won't say Halo, but kind of Halo.
Say Halo, but kind of.
Well, it's just
Halo and Half-Life. Is that a fair kind of Halo / Half-Life?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty fair.
I keep mentioning things. I hate doing this because doing two podcasts is annoying because you talk about one thing and you say it again the next day. But I said that Halo. What's great about Halo is it leads you down a narrow path and then all of a sudden, it gives you a very open area to play
in. And this game does the same thing.
Great. Okay. Yep. Well, I like that. That level design.
Yeah, you get taken down a lot of corridors into very open environments that you have to navigate to get to a point, and then you move on to the next area.
But they're not just open environments. What the thing that Halo do is some games that like you have an open like a larger environment to fight in, but it still feels very linear. You know, you're still going from one end to the other with Halo, you kind of go back and forth. You know, if there's a scarab or something, you kind of, it's all anywhere. You go anywhere, you know, just to finish the battle. There's no, it's just a circle. It's just an arena, you know. And they disguise it well, and I really like that about Halo.
Yeah, this is a little more linear in that. Like you can, as long as you get to the objective point, no matter what, you will basically move on to the next thing. But they do a good job in making it pretty seamless. So. Rich, I know you had a question you had started to throw out there towards me.
Yeah, do you think that the engine is going to be a nice platform for, say, the end lifespan of the console?
The absolutely,
and PS3.
Absolutely, I was very impressed by what they did with the graphics engine, and honestly, the physics engine too, in terms of just the way things react, like when you throw grenades out and you kill guys. I mean, they have very good reactions. Like you can shoot a guy in the knee and he'll go down to one knee and grab his leg. So, yeah, I mean, there's little touches like that that are absolutely they work well. And little, not really destructible environment, but enough to where you get a sense. Like if you're standing next to a pillar, you see things chipping off of it. You know, it makes you feel like you're in a firefight.
Hmm.
So, anyway.
Well, I am interested in it. I do want to play it, but
yeah.
It's just kind of it's not. I don't feel it's. I'm not hyped for it. Where I feel like I have to play it immediately. Crisis 2 feels like a game that I'll probably get to in a year or so and go, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not Portal 2. It's not like LA Noire for me. It's just like, okay, I'll get to it. It's probably really good. So.
Yeah, I have to chuckle a little bit because that one of the funnier things that is happening with me as I'm playing it, I am trying to get through the first player as fast as possible because, honestly, it's taking up time from Homefront. And I've still really been enjoying playing Homefront, but I really want to get through Crysis 2 so I can ship this back to Gamefly. So I have this, like
window of free...
Well, yeah, window of time, but, you know, more apt. It's just like every time I start playing it and I feel like I'm not... necessarily progressing fast enough through the game, it gets frustrating for me. And
I haven't played Homefront since I played it with you, Greg.
Well, that's a shame. That's a shame.
I haven't played anything since I played it. I played a little bit, but I haven't played my Xbox at all, really. So,
well, you should play it some more because there's other great games on there. So I'm going to move on to the next round. Yeah. So I'm sitting on the dashboard and I notice a ton of people playing a game called Fortress Craft.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this game? It's an indie game. So I ping Mr. Richard Webster, and, you know, Rich's response, it's brilliant, mate. You got to check it out. Download it. Indie game. It's awesome. It's absolutely mind-blowing what you can do in it. So I download the trial. I start to play it. It's basically the 360 indie version of Minecraft.
Yep.
I could not be bothered at all to play this game. You know, maybe it is amazing beyond amazing. I was bored out of my skull the moment I got into that world. Nothing about that world excited me and or made me think, oh my God, this is great. So I'm sure there is a ton of people out there, and I know there's a lot of gators that are playing it, but I just, I couldn't be bothered.
So can you do the same as Minecraft? You can hook up on servers and join other people and build stuff together.
Yes, you can join other people's worlds, but apparently there is a glitch in the game right now that is being patched, but Rich warned me, don't join somebody else's world because it'll erase yours. So, minor issue.
Yeah, it's a bit of a glitch, isn't it? That?
Yeah, well. But so I went on and I checked out a few more. Since I was in the indie game store, I thought, oh, why don't I check out some other things? So I started looking around. I came across this game called Miasma. I don't know if I'm saying it right or not, but it absolutely sounded very Japanese. It's Miasma. And it felt very much to me like XCOM, the first UFO defense game. And so I picked it up. It's a turn-based strategy. You have your squad, you go up against other enemies, you know, you have X amount of action points to move and get into cover and shoot. And, you know, for an indie little game, it only costs, what, like $250? You know, what the hell? I gave it a whirl. I've enjoyed my time with it. It suffers from indie game-itis. That's what I like to call it, which is not enough memory. You know, it doesn't do enough. So, you know, the dialogue system is all the text dialogue that you have to hit A to get through, which I hate. You know, and of course you hear the stupid little, you know, the little pecking, pinging sound as you're, you know, the text dialogue is coming up. Yeah. And then one of the other, probably the funniest things. So the game has you playing as the protagonist. You can pick male or female. And then whichever you pick, the other character is your counterpart. Part of your team, and then there's one other person that joins you, and you're this resistance going up against this evil corporation that's basically kind of running the world now.
Yeah.
And so the guy is this kind of, you know, very action movie looking bald head, you know, very Eric looking, sure, and, you know, kind of jeans and looks like, you know, he'd be maybe a, you know, a detective on a police force or something like that. And then one of the other guys in the resistance is decked out in kind of camos, like an army fatigue kind of thing. And then the woman is in a dress with a sniper rifle.
I'm and watching a video of it now, and yeah, she's in a dress.
She's in a dress.
Lena is a lame, or Lina, or something.
Yeah. And,
She's in a dress.
She's in a dress.
And I mean, she looks lovely, you know.
For an indie game, the graphics are pretty good, but I just had to laugh. I was like, and you can't change her out of that, from what I've gathered. You don't have the ability to basically don armor or anything like that. That was a disappointment. But anyway, so played some of that. It was enjoyable enough.
She's got heels on. Let me just check if she's got heels on.
I believe she does.
Yeah, that's not practical at all, is it?
No, but she ducks into cover, and she is mean with that sniper rifle, let me tell you.
Well.
But yeah, so the next three games I got into, all tower defense games, just for you, Rich.
Wow.
Yes. So I went on a purposeful search for tower defense games, and I came up with three. And I think you've played all three, so this is where I wanted you to chime in with me. So the first one is Soul Survivor, which this one, quite honestly, reminded me the most of Defense Grid. In its look and its feel, it felt very Defense Grid in the way it operates, the way it works.
I haven't been on that one.
Okay.
I went on six tower defense games, and I haven't been on that one.
Check out Soul Survivor, S-O-L Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spell that part out for you. You can figure it out. Very much Defense Grid, and I mean, just I think they took Defense Grid and they said, okay, let's make our own version of Defense Grid. The next one is – I'm going to jump around here. It's called Swamp Defense. And for those that don't know, I had these in order on notes, and now I'm jumping all over the place. But Swamp Defense, very cartoony tower defense game where you're defending your home, I guess – or your swamp from these creatures, and they come along the path, and you have all these hillbillies that you can put along the path and upgrade. And I mean, it's a fun little tower defense game. My only gripe with that game is the audio in it is horrible, and the gun sounds, I mean, literally sound like this. And let me tell you, after about 5 minutes of that, you want to strangle the developer. Because you get like six or seven of those guys on there, and all you're hearing is, you know, this tapping. And my wife turned to me, she's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, it's a tower defense game. She's like, it sounds like they're hammering something.
I'm hearing it now. I'm watching the video on YouTube now. Yeah.
So, but if you can get past the audio, maybe you just put your own music on.
It's also available on Windows Phone 7 and Android.
Okay, well, there you go. And then lastly, Deadly Space. And this game, I did not realize.
It's cool little use of the franchise. Okay. Bios by mistake, please.
But yeah, so Deadly Space, I didn't realize it was a tower defense game.
Also available on the iPhone and the iPod.
Oh, well, there you go. And I started to play it, and it looks like it's got some depth to it. But I didn't get a real long hands-on time with it because I was basically spending too much time trying to figure out what the hell I was doing. And in the indie games, they just give you time mm-hmm. in the trials. And once your time runs out, it sends you back to a screen. And so I only played it briefly. But again, tower defense game, it's got a kind of a different hook to it in that it's out in space. And so
– yeah.
You know, the enemies have to follow this pathway to your spaceship, but you don't get that sense of up and down. It's off-putting at first.
Okay. Can I have it? Can I just jump in on this one?
Please do.
Because I played this one as well, and out of the six I had to go at, I thought this was my favourite. Reason being, it had some very nice... it was the most versatile, firstly, and it had some very nice little mechanics. First of all, like Defense Grid, you could turn on and off the track of where the aliens were going and so on. But if you hold down the left trigger, you'd be looking at outer space and where you wanted to plant your pods, but you can't see where you can put them. You hold down the left trigger, it'll zoom in slightly, and it gives you a grid system of squares. And that's basically anywhere that you can put a tower. It's got a cool little D-pad selection for what tower you want to use. And every single tower that you selected has got about 5 points of upgrading. So there's a lot of scope for getting things up and down and creating pressure points for where the aliens are coming and everything. So, yeah, time-limited Debo. I think it was 240 points.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so, yeah, very good. It's had a really nice mechanic to it. I enjoyed that a lot.
There you go. Well, why don't we just transition right in? Talk more tower defense games, Rich.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, yeah, I after harassing Xbox support and not getting any joy from them on Twitterland, I took it upon myself to pack up my little knapsack and go wandering off into Indiesville to try and find some tower defense games. So I tried, I think it was about six of them, Tower Revolution, which was pants. So we'll discard that one straight away. I'm not even worth talking about it. There was another one called Towers, which was, it was nice and basic in look and graphics and everything, but it had a cool little Mass Effect type wheel that you could pull up for planting your towers. So basically you hit the X button and then a wheel will come up and you can like select which tower you want to put down. And then obviously then you can go back and upgrade and so on. But the only thing with that was as well, you didn't have a large enough play area. There was a few of these where you couldn't scroll, you know, hit the top of the screen and start moving around a bit, which I like to have quite a big play area when I'm doing the tower defencing.
Right.
Another one was Defense Matrix. Now, this was quite, it was probably the most advanced as far as the graphics were concerned, which, like you say, with the limitations of memory that they give to them, it's unusual that you get that, but it's got like a cool 3D, it was all as if it was on like, you know, the Florida Keys type bridges. Right. Everything was out at sea, and you had your track dictated by these bridge type systems that the enemies were coming down. And then you had square, like, placement points, as you would do in Defense Grid. And you could put down your various different towers and use that. And sound was good on it. And also the graphics, like I say, was really good. So that was worth it. It was another one that was 240. Liked that one a lot. And then we had Impact of Towers. It was only an 80-point game, but I think this was probably one of the better lower-budget ones. Along with a cool art style one called Scribble Defense. Now, this was probably the most original-looking one. And it had the same sort of mechanic you get in South Park, where once you'd killed an enemy, it drops coins, and you can then go around with a cursor and collect it. Now, this was a bit more... It was more original as well, because wherever your cursor is, if it's in close proximity to a tower or a bunch of towers, your cursor links up to the tower and you basically double your offense from that tower. So by placing, you know, towers in like bundles around the tracks, and they were quite complex tracks as well that you was getting, and you got to play quite a few different maps, you could also increase your firepower massively just by where you're placing your towers. So that, I would definitely recommend you check that out, because if you do like original games, and it was, you know, styled a bit like Geometry War with really basic graphics but impressive looking, it's worth checking out, definitely. That's Scribble Defense. And then there was another one called Invasion Defense, which again had a limited play area. It was basing everything on like a modern warfare type setup. It had fairly advanced graphics, but I found it just all they were giving you was like big open play areas. So any veteran of the old tower defense could know that you can just build tons of minimum guns and just put it in like a zigzag, and they'll just follow the zigzags, and you kick ass. Not much of a challenge. But yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was the tower defense reviews. So I think out of all of them, I would probably go for Deadly Space. Yeah, definitely.
Well, definitely give Soul Survivor a go.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that because I didn't try that one.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree, Deadly Space definitely seemed like it had a deep system to it. So it had a lot to offer from what I could tell. But all right, enough of the tower defense. You got some dick tits or any kind of jokes like that coming, Rich?
Yes, continue. That's the only other thing really that I've been playing. Continued the ongoing Bulletstorm saga. So I've been doing a bit more of the single player. But on Friday night, I took myself into the co-op side of things, which I was enjoying on my own, just picking up randoms and having a go, getting used to the whole scoring system and everything. And then XTAL, Mark Davis, he came on, and along with Dave Dog, and we hooked up. So you can have four players in the co-op. And I know that Dukes said he didn't have a good experience with it, but I've got to say, it is probably one of the best co-op experiences I've had. It's absolutely, it's hilarious, it's challenging, and it just makes you want to play it over and over again. It is brilliant. And the way, you know, if you like Horde or anything like Horde, where you've got the challenge of doing wave after wave, and if you don't beat it, you can continue, try over and over again. You're going to get all of that with this, but along with belly laughs. And it's just a brilliant team game. And the beauty of it is, as well, is it brings you into it nice and easily. You've only got to get a certain amount of points before you progress to the next wave. But as soon as you hit a certain point, around about wave 6, if you're not working as a team, you can't get any further. Because you can do your combos on your own, but what they do with this is they'll send out a random enemy guy once in a while, and he'll be a team kill target. So you've got to work as a team to do a certain thing to that guy. So you've got cactuses that you know you can impale the enemies on and so on and things like that. And you'll get a guy come on, say, prick him. So the guy will come running on and that, and you're all chasing around trying to get this guy on a leash so that you can throw him up at the air, and then somebody else then, it can't be the same player, another player's got to come in and boot the guy into some sort of spikes and everything, and you're just running around like nutters going, pick it, prick him, I've thrown him up, prick him, prick him, prick him, oh, bastard, I thought I pricked him. No, he was dead before you pricked him, he was dead before you pricked him. And it's brilliant.
So you have to complete these tasks before you can move on?
Well, these give you more points. So if you do a team kill like that, you'll get a massive bonus off it. What they'll do is they'll give you 500 points. But anybody that was involved in that team kill, whether it be two people shooting a guy up in the air, they will get the 500 points as well. So it boosts that score up for that wave. So you're getting towards the target a lot quicker. You also get bonuses as well for completing the target before the waves are finished. For that wave, because you get a certain amount, and then they'll throw in a mini boss as well. The mini bosses are hilarious when you're working as a team, because what they do is they'll come on walking on with like a Gatling gun, like a brute would in Gears.
Okay.
You shoot them for a certain amount of bullets, and then they'll go down into like a squatting position, and then you'll have highlighted either the helmet or the ass. So one of you will put him down by shooting him, and the rest of you are just running up behind him and trying to kick him up the arse and everything. And you're just like there, like, booting this geezer up the arse while somebody else is trying to shoot him to put him down. But, yeah, it's such a laugh.
Sounds like a Saturday night for me.
Yeah. But it's cracking. And
players co-op, is it? Sorry, four.
Four, yeah, four.
Still haven't played it yet, but how long are you keeping it for? Is it rented for you?
I think I'm going to keep this one longer now and probably send Homefront back and get Homefront on the cheap later on, because the co-op is brilliant on it. It really is good.
Yeah,
I'm still playing the single player on it anyway, but you've got to play the co-op. You know, if you like Borderlands for the look of it and everything, but this just for having a laugh. Did you like Horde mode, Mike?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
If you like Horde mode, you will absolutely love this. It's brilliant. It really is good.
In fact, I've been itching to play some Horde mode, and in fact, we need to play a little Battlefield Bad Company 2 to get in the onslaught.
We
made Mike buy it. We got to play it.
I know, yeah. Right, it was only 200 points, though, so it was a lot of problems. Yeah, we need to play Onslaught as well, yeah.
Well, Rich, you're definitely changing my opinion of Bulletstorm. I must say, I was pretty down on that game off my experience with it, but maybe it is more than I don't want to say it. I was going to say more than meets the eye, but, you know.
While I was doing the co-op, I was talking about single player, and Mark said something that was very valid, and I agree with him as well, because I'd just reached the point in the single player that he was talking about. But, you know, with them giving you the key thing being the leash, and then doing the combos and stuff like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the middle of that game, they stick you into a chapter in the game where they make up this premise of the guys are too quick for you and you can't use your leash on them.
Yeah.
So it then turns into like a Gears type game where it's cover, shoot, cover, shoot. And I think it just interrupts the gameplay, the flow of it too much. I can see why they've done it, because it's also like the first level where you get the sniper rifle. So, which is, like I said last week, one of the coolest guns I've ever used in the game.
But they're trying to make you use another gun.
Exactly.
they're kind of forcing you?
Yeah, but they only give you that gun for a certain amount of time, or because you're going to run out of bullets with it anyway, unless you've got bags and bags of money, which I don't seem to have. but it seems like it's forced on you, and they just take that key part of the game away from you where they shouldn't do. But that's just mainly minor gripe, really, at the moment with it. But other than that, I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
Class.
Excellent. Well, I guess that wraps it up for what we've been playing this week. So why don't we move on? And, well, it's new releases. All right. It is new release time, and there's a lot of games coming out this week. I did not realize how big a week this is. So, well, let's start at the top with the king, the biggest game coming out this week by far, Portal 2, just capturing huge scores. Everybody seems to be loving this game, and it seems to be out on every platform known to mankind, with the exception of the handhelds, I guess. But yeah, PS2, Xbox 360, Mac, PC, you name it, you can get it.
The Wii?
Not the Wii. Oh. Okay, moving on. SOCOM 4 comes out this week on the PS3. SOCOM making its reappearance. Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
I'll just look at what else is coming. Oh, my God, there's lots.
All kinds of stuff coming out. Mortal Kombat coming out on the old PS3 and Xbox 360. And then we've got Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection coming out on the PSP, and I'm going to just read through this whole list. Conduit 2 coming out this week on the Wii, and going down the list, Black Mirror 3 coming out to the games for Windows PC. Who cares about it? Maybe some people. I don't know. We also have, Majesty 2, the collection coming out on PC. I got a bunch of PC games mixed in with my new releases this week.
Operation Flashpoint. Sorry.
Yeah.
Flashpoint, yes, I skipped over that. I apologize. Sorry, my bad. Hey, also coming out this week, Tom Clancy's End War with World in Conflict. I don't know. Who cares? It's a bundle. Section 8, Prejudice comes out this week.
Duke.
I'm excited. Everybody should be excited.
Can anybody guess what the veteran gamer's play date is going to be?
Yeah. I might have to join this one. There's a Prince of Persia Classic Trilogy in HD coming out on the PS3 this week. We've got a triple pack Xbox Live Arcade compilation, which is Trials HD, Limbo, and Explosion Man. And then last but not least, there is the Complete Combat Series of Blazing Angels bundle coming out this week. That's PC as well. All said and done, there's a lot of games coming out this week.
Did we mention Conduit 2? Did you say that one?
I did. Conduit 2, you know. Yeah, that was the game.
I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have even been bothered about that. But I heard them guys talking on Gamesman the other week, and quite interesting.
Really nice. Yeah. You know, I actually had hands-on time with Conduit 2 back at E3, and it's a solid game. And for the Wii, you know, it's a rarity. It's a first-person shooter that works.
Cool.
Take that. And that's it. That's new releases. Yeah, like I said, maybe we start music in post edit.
Portal 2, obviously the biggest game this week, but
Mike, you can't talk about Portal 2. Sorry. You're not allowed to.
Oh yeah, I should say that. No, I won't. I won't. Actually, I won't talk about that.
Because... Don't talk to Mike about Portal 2. Please don't send him Twitter messages. Don't send him anything related.
Say that because people will do it. I won't check my Twitter. I'm not.
Don't call him on the phone. Don't talk to him. Don't speak to him in the subway.
I basically can't play. It's out this week. I can't play it till next week.
Mike, you might as well just stay in the closet.
So I'm just
next week. You come out of the closet.
I've came out already, but yeah, I can't.
Hey, Mike, let's move on. Let's talk news.
Where's the news file? There it is. Let's turn it up.
And this is the news of the week.
Bum, 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 bum. Also, effects were added by me.
Yes, they were. I kind of have to admit, I was listening to the Weekend Confirmed podcast, and they do this little like news kind of rhythm little jingle that they did, and I kind of like it. We might have to get the group together here, do a kind of like a news trio, maybe get Mr. Matthew in here with his
like
deep
a what do they call it?
Barbershop quartet. Yeah,
barbershop quartet. Thank you. Couldn't think of the words. But okay, let's talk news. Everybody's favorite topic. And quite honestly, it's not everybody's favorite topic, but the NPDs came out for March, and I'm going to run through them real fast because, of course, NPD has been cracking down on what they're releasing, and so it's made kind of going through the NPDs a little bit boring because there's not really a lot of information anymore. But top 10 games for the month of March in the North American territory. Wow. Nintendo, cleaning house, Pokemon.
Damn.
And Pokemon Black take the top.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter either one. Michael Jackson said it doesn't matter which one you take. You are white or black. It's fine.
Yeah, but white wins. Apparently, white won out. I shouldn't say it that way. They probably tied. I mean, really, it is the same game basically.
Pokemon's stupid.
It is.
There you go. I said it.
Number three, Homefront.
Yay.
I know. Homefront, number three. Number four was Dragon Age 2. Can't believe Homefront beat out Dragon Age 2, and more importantly, beat out Call of Duty Black Ops coming in number five. Number six, this is a game I actually am really curious about. I've heard so many good things. Lego's Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars.
Got it.
Yeah.
Been playing it today. I'm just, but I didn't say anything. Yeah.
Jealous. Appreciate you not saying anything.
No, our lads just got it. Our lads literally just picked it up today and started playing it. So
I've heard the animated series, the Clown Wars, is meant to be pretty good from what I hear.
Yeah. Well, and the Legos games always are pretty
good. Yeah, they're always good.
Yeah. Crysis 2 came in at number 7. And, of course, this is all the platforms, so they're not separating things out. We don't get to know which platform did what unless it's, of course...
It's a bit of a shock, the next one. I don't know.
NBA 2K11. It's not that big of a shock, Mike, when you take into consideration the NBA playoffs are starting up. So there's a lot of interest in basketball. And this is the only basketball game out.
Yes. What about NBA Elite?
2012.
It's coming.
I swear. It's coming. And it doesn't hurt it that it's a good basketball game. I mean, by all accounts, the best in the series so far.
Competition wouldn't hurt it either.
No, definitely not. Madden says hi. MLB 11 The Show comes in at number 9. Coincidentally, baseball season kicking off. So, hey, that makes sense. And last but not least, pulling up number 10, Fight Night Champion. So a lot of sports titles in that top 10.
It is. Very sporty sporty chart.
Yeah, sporty bunch. You know, you've got the NBA and baseball and fighting, and then, you know, the Pokemon.
The hippin' and the hoppin' and the basketball boppin'.
In terms of hardware sales, we do know a few of the numbers. Nintendo DS did about 460,000. The 3DS was just under 400,000 for its launch. A lot of people are saying, though, that that number is kind of low. Now, we'll see, but a little surprising the 3DS was as low as it was.
I think, like with Nintendo products especially, like they the first month of a game, let's say, they're always really high, and then the second month they go down and they go down. Nintendo products, consoles and handhelds, always like stay the same. So I reckon next month they'll be exactly the same, pretty much.
They are,
and they'll keep doing that for till Christmas. The 3DS. I saw a kid today. I bought a watch today. Just so you know. Just everybody. Yeah, it was a watch that I had when I was 10 years old. It's a Casio watch.
You rebought it.
Well, I did. It's not the same watch. It's the same type. It's, you know those old Casio ones. I was like,
give me my watch back.
Cool. But anyway, I was in Argos, right? Or Argus, right? And there's this kid in there, right? And he's like, no way, 3D thing. And he just looked at it and pointed at it, and he's like, mom. He was 27. No, he wasn't really. And it will sell. Kids see it, and they just freak out about it. So it'll do fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to do just fine. And maybe the reason why it will sell, 3D a little easier than maybe the PlayStation 3 will sell 3D is just because you see it right then and there. It's a handheld. Parents don't feel like they have to do anything funky with their televisions that, you don't need glasses. It's got some nice little selling points. And it has Steve Conger as a spokesman.
Hmm.
Yeah. The Wii, only 290,000 units in the month of March. It's down. Yeah, it's down considerably. Now, to follow up on this, it is now confirmed that Nintendo has, in fact, reduced the price of the Wii to $170 US across the board. So it got a big price cut. And might make even more sense when we talk about something else in a little bit here. Xbox 360 sold 433,000 units for the month.
Still doing well.
Yeah, still definitely doing well in the U.S. And the PS3, Sony. Sony wouldn't release their numbers again. But they did say.
That's a good style, isn't it? That's a good style.
But here's the surprising thing. Because they actually did better than the Wii. And so they said that they had year-over-year growth, and it was in the double digits. So about all we do
is 10 copies, 10 consoles.
Yes, 10 consoles. No, you got to figure that's PR speak for 10% sales growth year-over-year at least. And, we know they did 313,000 units last year, so they're going to be somewhere north of 340,000, 345,000 units.
I love it when you talk numbers, Greg.
So do I. That's why I talk about them. And I know everybody loves these lists. So that's just kind of the snapshot of the industry. NPDs, there you go.
Nintendo's not doing well, but what the hell's that phone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Rich?
Somebody's phone.
Rich?
Chris just sent a Twitter. I was trying to read it.
Damn, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't care about what he's saying. He's not on the podcast. Screw him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mike, let's talk about Sony.
Talk about Sony doing well.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, do you want a PSP Go?
If it's discounted.
Well, it will be because they're going to stop making them. They're going to be extinct soon, so you better get one. That's right. PSP Go production is going to stop, apparently.
Does that mean that Kenny's unemployed now? That little dude.
Well, he can move on to the NGP or whatever he is. Where has he gone? He only did that one thing.
And he only did that one thing. That was it.
Yeah.
He was funny as well. Oh, well. The production of the PSP Go, the very successful PSP Go. Oh, look at me. I'm being smart because it wasn't. He's going to stop production. This is only natural, of course, because they've got a new handheld coming out. The mini PS3, as I like to call it, or the NGP's coming. And the PSP Go was very, very, it didn't sell very well. So, Eurogamer asked Sony Europe, if this was true, and they got a very awkward non-denial from them. So it was a kind of, we're not supposed to talk about it, but yeah, kind of answer. That's it. PSP Go, no more. PSP, yeah. Stop.
I mean, it's not shocking. The PSP Go had such a horrible launch. I mean,
and it wasn't the idea. Like, the PSP Go's design is probably the best out of all of them.
Yeah.
But it's they didn't get the support. That platform, that handheld was, you know, crucial. It was crucial that you got all those games online day one. Every PSP game that is released should be available to download straight away. And they should have done some kind of support. I don't know how, that if you own a PSP game, you could download it for free.
It
would have been successful.
It really was the downfall of the PSP Go is the fact that it had no true way of being backwards compatible to all the PSP games that people already owned.
It was a big fuck you to everybody who owned a PSP before. It's like, say you had 20 games on your PSP.
Yeah, right, say you had 20 pirated PSP games on your PSP.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's like 200. Let's say, all right, a legitimate PSP owner had 20 games. I was like, oh, I need a new PSP. Oh, boy, PSP. Those old 20 games was no good. You know, they should have done something. I don't know how they would have resolved it. Maybe, like, give them to the store and they give you codes for all the downloads for all the games. Something. So just like, look, we want to move to a digital, like, era, and we want to support you by all the games that you bought before. I don't know how they would have done that, but it was just lack of support. Not the device itself. The device was quite cool, but it was just all the kind of operating system. There's the usual stuff what Sony screw up on. The operating system, the service. Not as, I mean, the PSN Plus thing's working out pretty well. But, you know, it's not perfect. I know.
No. Yeah. It's dead. That's the most
PSP
thing.
PSP, stop. Yeah.
All right, let's talk next news story. And this, Rich, ties into what we were talking about earlier with the Wii price drop.
Mm, yes. First, it started off as rumors, but now it's been confirmed that, there's going to be a next generation console for the Wii. So the Wii 2 is going to be announced at E3. And apparently, French news site, which has divined the hardware specs of the NGP before it was officially unveiled, is now citing from unnamed sources that the current system is called Project Cafe, and it adds that it does feature hardware resembling that of an Xbox 360, such as a 3-core IBM PowerPC CPU. The real meat of the report, though, isn't the specs of the console, but its controller. According to O1Net, the peripheral will feature a 6-inch single input touchscreen.
Dreamcast.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have made that comparison. A lot of people have made the comparison to the Dreamcast. I know that they're saying that in terms of the graphics processor that supposedly the Wii 2 successor is going to have, it's going to be much more powerful than that which is in the Xbox 360. But again, it's so hard to know hardware configurations, what these consoles can really do until they're fully fleshed out into the wild and we know how they work. About the smartest thing I've seen so far is that they're taking architecture that's similar to the Xbox 360 and PC development. And so I think they're kind of learning that if we make this easy to develop for from a PC standpoint, people will port games over.
Mm-hmm. And make it HD.
Yeah, and make it HD.
Work with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be HD. It's supposedly going to get announced at E3. And I don't know about the controller. I shouldn't say worry, but it sounds an awful lot like if they're really trying to do this, you know, touchscreen input on the controller, that maybe somehow they're going to be trying to do some kind of massive tie into their handheld market.
Well, I was just going to say, I imagine it to be like, imagine controlling a console game with your DS.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it.
Yeah. But
it does sound very Nintendo to me.
It sounds very Nintendo.
There's always a gimmick in there, Nintendo. And it sounds exactly kind of what they would do.
here's where it loses me. They just spent all this time creating up the Wiimote and the nunchuck system and had huge success with it. How or why would they suddenly be going away from that? That does not make sense.
They can't do it again. They can't do it again. They can't do it again. They have to do something else. They have to. They need another hook. They need another gimmick.
But if I guess that then that raises the question: if in fact they don't have that ability, or they don't have that controller, you know, one of the other things they're talking about is, you know, reportedly they're trying to make this system backwards compatible to the Wii and the GameCube. Now, without nunchucks and, you know, a Wiimote, that seems like a very tall order.
Something here as well to remember is you've got to look at what the biggest growth in games markets probably been in the last couple of years, which has been touchscreen phones.
True.
So you're putting that on the controller. Just think of the amount of cool, high-standard shovelware you could be sticking on the console.
I love the way you just did that. High-standard shovelware.
Exactly. But it's there, isn't it? You could do that.
True,
Make it a lot easier. Like you say, you're making it more universal for developers and stuff. You give a controller system that's based on the touchscreen, then you're opening up all of that stuff that's going on the phones at the moment.
Is there anything saying that the controller doesn't still support motion control?
It couldn't be integrated with a Wiimote.
Right. It very well may. Who knows? I mean, there's still rumors are abound, and who knows what's true and what's not true. I mean, we'll find out in just a few short months.
If that's a 6-inch screen, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to look at the dimensions of it are roughly widescreen. You're looking at, 2.5 inches in depth. Makes it a little bit more cumbersome than a Wiimote would be, wouldn't it? It's like you'd be holding a video remote.
Man.
When you do it, sort of thing.
I just wonder how they're going to pull it off. But, you know, look, we all said way back when that, you know, there wasn't room for, you know, another console manufacturer, that the Dreamcast proved that, and Microsoft came along and they actually put out a console, you know. They said that, you know, Microsoft wasn't going to be able to survive because they didn't have enough third-party support. Well, and, hey, they pulled that off. So what – I don't know. Mike, what do you think? What else could Nintendo possibly do to try and catapult themselves into a more current HD generation?
I'll tell you what they could do. They could get my favorite developer on board with their console or their apparent new console. Rockstar have been reported that they're gonna make something on the Wii 2. And if that's the case, I'm in. I don't care what it is. No, I do care what it is. But basically, Rockstar have said that, well, they haven't said officially, but there's rumors that they're going to be working with whatever the new console is for Nintendo, which to me is a smart move, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of Nintendo first-party developers that haven't made a game for a while, so I reckon they're going to have a strong lineup. And they're also
Manhunt 3.
Brilliant. They're also looking to... They're reaching out to third parties more. And they do get third-party developers a lot of the games that came out this year, last year for the Wii, were made by second party, I guess, because they're partnered, and third party developers, you know, like Donkey Kong, things like that. And it's, I think they're changing their trend a little bit, you know, they're quite stubborn in their way, but they are doing it, you know, the 3DS, the kind of downloading, all that kind of stuff, they are getting there. Imagine
this announcement. And again, this is absolutely speculation. Who knows if it's reality or not, but it's sounding like it could be. You know, Nintendo, E3. Here's our new, you know, Wii 2. Oh, and by the way, we have Grand Theft Auto 5 coming to the Wii 2.
See ya. Thanks for buying our console.
Pretty much. It only prints money.
There's no way Grand Theft Auto will be exclusive to a console. A Grand Theft Auto spin-off that's exclusive to a console. But there's no way a whole Grand Theft Auto sequel, 5, will be exclusive. There is no way they would miss out on the PS3 360 people buying it. Right. That's ridiculous. But no, a spin-off. But, I could see a spin-off.
Well, I could see just the proper game. And what I'm saying is not that they had it exclusive, but just like what Microsoft did, which is, hey, for the first time ever, Grand Theft Auto is coming to our console. Nintendo could be saying at E3, hey, here's our new HD system. It brings us into the realm of HD. And, oh, by the way, you can play Grand Theft Auto 5 on our system. You don't have to, you know, have a PS3.
That doesn't sound right to me. I don't think.
No, it doesn't sound right. But does that immediately catapult them into?
No. I don't think Nintendo would do that. No, look at the reputation that Nintendo has. Look at who they appeal to. What the fuck would they want Grand Theft Auto? I reckon whatever game it is, it's not Grand Theft Auto. It's probably something else. But it's probably going to be great. It's probably is from Rockstar. Well, but I doubt it's a Grand Theft Auto game where you murder people and run over prostitutes. And
here's the only thing I say. Where they very well may do this, and it would benefit them. And it's because, while yes, the Wii had tremendous success, I mean, crazy runaway success, but Nintendo is now facing realities of their sales have declined and continued to decline, and the primary reason that people are pointing to it, it's because, you know, they're not in the HD realm anymore, and they're basically being overshadowed by more hardcore systems. And I think Nintendo sees that, and they see the shortcomings, and this would be an instant way for them to kind of bolster the feeling of the Wii 2. It's not just a Wii. It's a hardcore system.
Mm-hmm.
But –
Well, yeah, maybe –
you're going to find out.
Because one aspect they've forgotten about is the hardcore lot. And I don't know. I can't really see them doing it. I do believe that, you know, they will come out with a badass like launch. Sorry, Rich, are we boring you? Hey,
sorry, mate.
Don't nod off, Rich. Don't nod off.
1 o'clock. yeah. So I do think they'll have a great launch at this rate, because I don't know what all the other first party developers are doing. From Zelda, you know.
True.
So I think that they're up to something. Obviously, the Mario people are making a 3D Galaxy on the 3DS, but they're gonna be up to something. They're gonna be doing something. So
they'll definitely have something up their sleeve.
And the new Zelda will probably be like the old Zelda. The new Zelda will be like on both.
Wait a minute. I got it. Every console ships with the vitality sensor.
That's what it is. Done.
Done. All right, show break time, guys. We're going to take a quick break. Enjoy an interview. Mr. Richard Webster has a little interview, and we're also going to toss in a little musical interlude as well. So Mr. Webster is interviewing one of the Gate members. I believe it is Filthy this week. And then we've got a little Call of Duty versus Halo rap battling song for you.
Okay. It's
pretty slick. So
give from original week. Beard. That was from original
yes.
Beard.
Yes, I should say original Beard sent that to us. And so great suggestion. Give it all a listen. And when we come back, try and wrap the show fairly quickly. We've got a little quiz time. And then, of course, community feedback. So we'll be back shortly.
Peace.
Listeners, and welcome to episode 2, the second Big Bad Daddies sponsored by Snickers interviews. And this week we have a very special guest on the show. He's straight from the forums, raw as ever. He is Phil Olsen. Introduce yourself, Phil.
Hi everyone, I'm Phil Filthy from the forums. Been around for quite a while now.
Yeah, how long have you been in the old community over there?
I probably joined back when the O35's podcast was about episode 10.
Oh,
so,
right.
So quite a while. Dipping in and out of the forums.
Yeah. Do you remember when the Couch Mercenaries and O35 sort of joined forces and then became friends?
I do, very much so. I have to admit, I wasn't a listener of the Couch Mercenaries. Mm-hmm. You can shoot me later, but no, I wasn't a listener. But yeah. Now I can see what I was missing, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean the crazy Canadian bastards. They are. They just go off on one and then talk for an hour about watching porn on their iPhones and work. It's great. Right, well, we've got you here today, Phil, to do a little interview. We'll get to know you a little bit better, let the community find out a little bit more about you, and just give you an idea of what it's like to podcast. You said you've done some radio before.
Yeah, it is a bit of radio back in university days, but nothing since.
Well, hopefully that will prepare you for the podcast time ahead, and you never know, maybe one day you might start your own podcast after getting, you know, all the love mail that you're going to get from being on the podcast.
You never know.
Yeah, there you go. Right, well, first question I'm going to ask you is, what was the very first game you ever played?
Very first game I ever played was probably going back to the Binatone. I don't know if you call it a console, with the tennis and some perplexing game called Gridball. That was back in the late 70s probably. And yeah. Then that was combined with the Acetronic, which was a cheaper Atari rip-off. Same games, different controllers. And also had the original Prince of Persia on the big 5.5-inch floppy disks.
Oh, wow. I remember the original Prince of Persia. Back in the 80s and early 90s, a lot of people still had the old consoles, like old Amstrads and Commodore 64s and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, this was on it's a huge, home computers, they used to call it. Mm-hmm. It was probably a good 8 inches high and probably a foot wide and probably a foot and a half deep. It was it was huge, really big.
I remember them. Like the old Commodore ones where it was all built in and it was just massive.
Oh, this was actually had separates. So it was a separate monitor and a separate keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as I say, with the big 5.5-inch floppy disks.
Yeah, I remember them. On the old BBC computers, used to use them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I can't remember the actual name. Maybe it was BBC computer.
Yeah, I think it was BBC Micro.
Yeah.
You used to have those in school.
Now, what was the very first console you actually owned?
First console I owned was probably the PS1. Bought it to play FIFA 98, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was the last FIFA game I ever played.
How come?
Just moved on to other things. You know, bought it for FIFA, then picked up Metal Gear Solid, and
great
from
game.
Then on just moved away from FIFA.
Mm. Do you still like football, or is it just football games you're not really into?
I like football. You know, big football follower. I'll probably get a lot of boos when I mention my team. I know Mr. Alien would support me. I'm a Man United fan.
Oh, right.
But I don't touch FIFA anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the last football game I played, I mean, I've played like FIFA 08 or something at a friend's house, but I think the last football game I actually owned properly was Three Lions on the PS1. Don't know if you remember that. That was a long time ago. I think that was for was it Euro 96 or something?
Yeah, it would have been that, yeah.
Gareth Southgate and missed the penalty. I remember. Right, so now that you've told us about your first sort of, dabbles in games, first consoles and stuff, what type of games are you into now? What's your favourite genre?
I'm really getting into the games with a good story. So, you know, games like Red Dead Redemption. Alan Wake. I only have a 360, so they're all 360 based games. I don't have a PC powerful enough to play the latest games, and not really interested in getting a PS3 at the moment. So it's mainly story based games.
Story based. I think that's something of a trend, really, as we grow up, isn't it? And we're not old. I mean, come on. I know someone on the Xbox forums, you know, the official Xbox forums, who's in his 60s. And he posts on forums and all, he's great. But I think what it shows is, you know, as we mature, I think we want a deeper sense in our games. We want our games to be like our films and be like our books. You know, no spectacle, because that's, when you're younger, that's really all you're into. You know, flashy lights and, you know, violence and tits and Duke Nukem and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. And, I don't think I was the only person who yawned when they saw the Duke Nukem trailer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there'll be lots of teenage boys looking forward to it, and it may be worth a giggle for 10-15 minutes, but I don't think it's going to do much for the actual, you know, the gamers with the money, and that's that's the over 20s at the moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you know, the people that buy like Red Dead Redemption and, you know, the Heavy Rains and these type of games that really do have something to offer other than, you know, good gameplay, because I think that plays a part in it, doesn't it? I mean, what game in recent memory do you think had the best gameplay for you? The game you just loved to play, and the kind of game where you just want to play it when you're at work, you want to go home and play it?
I think the game that really got me like that were the two games. It was Red Dead Redemption and Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Great games.
Bad Company 2 really was the game when I wasn't playing, I'd see a plane in the sky, I'd want to shoot it down. You know, you'd automatically spot out the corner of your eye. Yeah. So yeah, those two were really the ones I keep going back to.
I keep, I mean, I'm quite sad. I'm really into my game soundtracks. What do you think about game soundtracks? Do you ever listen to game music on YouTube or anything?
Yeah, I've got loads. So I've got all the Halo games, the soundtracks to Halo games.
Yeah. I had the Halo song on Guitar Hero. That was great. I love the Halo music. It's good.
Yeah, and obviously the Red Dead soundtrack. I've got
I was just listening to that just before this podcast segment now.
It's just brilliant. Mm. It really is. And I've got the Alan Wake soundtrack as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Do you like any of the older soundtracks, the ones that sort of like Final Fantasies or Silent Hill or anything?
I've listened to a few when they've been played on, whether it's the BGM podcast you know, some of the others. I haven't actually gone out and purchased them, or I don't go out of my way to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, we've talked music. You know, we've talked gameplay. Now let's talk money, because that's an important part of being grown up and being part of the gaming for the elderly. You know, we have jobs. Is there a game that you can remember recently that you paid, you know, 40 quid for day one, and it was just the worst mistake you'd ever made?
Again, I'm probably going to get shot down for this, but I bought Modern Warfare 2 on release day and took it back 2 days later.
What was it that put you off? Was it the destroyed multiplayer that just didn't work?
Yeah, it just, you know, the single player took me, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. And the multiplayer just didn't work. For me, there was just something about it that I just couldn't get used to. When it came to Black Ops, I said that I wasn't going to buy that. Bought it day one, and it's probably the most addictive game I've ever played.
I agree.
I'd actually say it's one of the worst games as well, because it just stops you from playing anything else.
It does, and that's the danger, isn't it? Because, like you were saying before, you're into your story games. They're the type of games that you need to put your time in and think, right, I've got 2 hours, I'll play Red Dead Redemption, or, you know, I've got a Sunday afternoon, I'll play, you know, Alan Wake. But then you put Call of Duty in, and then you're on it till, you know, till the sun goes down and time just flies.
Yeah, I literally had to put it away in a drawer, out of the way. I mean, I really did, because, you know, I kept going back to it, kept seeing that, you know, my friends were on it. Kept jumping back in, and it's just that 10-minute hit that turns into a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that keeps people coming back to Call of Duty is the addictiveness, isn't it? The constant ranking up, you know, constant. The games are fast. It's in and out. You know, there's no real waiting apart from like 3 seconds while the map's loading. You know, it's that keeps it going, because you always think, don't you, like one more game. And then you go, right, this is my last one, and then your favourite map comes up next, and you're like, oh, all right, I'll do that one, and then, you know, and then you get top, and you're like, oh, I'll play again, because I'm playing all right now, and then it's an endless cycle.
It is, and it's that hit, quick hits, so it's, you know, that very fast rewards that you get time and time again, that, you know, you can think, oh, after this game, I'm not doing very well, and then all of a sudden, you'll hit a kill streak, and it just keeps you going and going, and I think it really is doing damage to the gaming industry, to be honest.
All right. Why did you say that? I mean, I agree in a way, but let's hear your thoughts. Why do you think that?
I think it's a very well put together game. I mean, I think it's, you know, very smooth, especially on the 360. I don't know what it's like on the PS3. I've heard bad things about it, but I think it's very quick. And as I found, I've got a very addictive personality, and I like variety. Mm-hmm. But I just kept going back to it time and time again. And I probably didn't touch another game for a good month, 6 weeks. And I think there are people who will just constantly play COD or FIFA.
COD, FIFA.
FIFA or COD. who will just stick with that because it gives them that constant fix and they'll never get bored of it until the next one comes along.
Yeah, I know someone who is like that, my friend. He lives down the street and that's all he plays. And he lives with his brother and they share the same gamer tag. And my friend works days, his brother works nights, and they just, that gamer tag is never actually offline because it's constantly playing just Call of Duty. And he's bought games like Red Dead Redemption and like Batman Arkham Asylum and just didn't like them. And it confuses me. I don't understand how these people can't enjoy those type of games.
Well, that's very true. I mean, my son's the same. He plays Modern Warfare 2 and FIFA. So I'm now trying to sort of reach him into, introduce him to, say, Fable 3 or Red Dead or something with a bit more depth.
I think he'll enjoy it as well because you find those games, because games used to be about quick, your quick fix, your arcade games, even games on the home consoles when they were first, coming out into popularity. They were all, your Super Marios, your Donkey Kongs. It was all about fast gameplay and just quick play and play. And then eventually the Japanese sort of, weaned in all these RPGs and adventure games like Silent Hill and Resident Evil games that sort of had a bit more depth. And I think that is where the industry's going right now. I mean, look, the biggest game company, I think, at the moment, who for single player games is probably Rockstar because of GTA and Red Dead and now LA Noire. And they've learned from GTA 3 that some people do want, depth, something to sink their teeth into.
Yeah, Red Dead was the first Rockstar game that I came across, really, apart from table tennis. And I wasn't really into the GTA games, but I think LA Noire is going to be the big one this year. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's a day one purchase.
Oh, definitely. I said to my missus I wouldn't buy it day one because, I can wait. I've got other things to buy, but I think I'll be tempted because the 20th of May, it's now in my mind now, and I'll be thinking, right, 20th of May, what day is that? Do I finish work at 5 or 4? Can I go, do I order it off Shoptune and get it in the post? And that's the sort of thing. That's when you know it's a danger, when you're thinking about what's the best way to get this game.
Yeah, and also if you pre-order, you get an extra case as well.
I know, I'm struggling where to pre-order it from as well. I don't know which would be best. Eventually, they'll all be DLC, but I think the one with the woman, the murdered woman, I can't remember who's doing that, but that one I think interests me most. Right, well, this, I don't know if you realised the other day, Phil, do you follow IGN on Twitter?
I don't follow IGN on Twitter. I'm on Twitter quite a lot. At Filthy.
At Filthy, there you go. Is it Phil with a one?
Yeah, it's PH1LTHEEE.
There we go. See, cool people have ones in their names, don't they, Phil? Like me and you. Right, well, I don't know if you saw it, but IGN have posted IGN are quite reputable. They don't just fly at rumours for the sake of it. But listen to this. Nintendo is reportedly ready to reveal a brand new console. Right. I'll read you the little snippet now. It says, according to multiple reports today, yesterday, Nintendo will reveal a new console at E3 in June. Game Informer first reported the details saying the console is capable of running games at HD, which doesn't really seem like a selling point because PS3 and 360 does that now. The source also said that the new console will be more powerful than a PS3 and a 360, and Nintendo is after the hardcore market again. What's your thoughts on that? If Nintendo came out with a new console, say, next year, more powerful than 360 and PS3, and they were going for hardcore gamers again, would you be tempted to buy the next Nintendo?
Probably not. I had a Wii. I doubt very much they were going for hardcore gamers, to be honest. They've captured the market in the casual gamer. And I know Kinect's doing very well. I've got one myself and love it. But for as far as sort of family gaming, kids gaming, I think the Wii's got it pretty much captured. I'd be very surprised if it was, as high spec as they're saying it is. Whilst it'll be HD, they're also saying that it'll have Blu-ray and 3D. I can't see at the moment if they're announcing it this year.
They're announcing it. The plan is, although the rumor is, announcing it this year for release next year.
Yeah, I can't see them going with 3D next year. not to be honest. They're going to stick with, if they're going to go with 3D, I would expect them to either use the same sort of 3D that PlayStation 3 does, which is just using the TV.
Stereoscopic, I think they call it, or something.
Yeah.
One of them.
I would think that they'll probably be waiting more for the next level. So the, you know, the TVs without the glasses. So large versions of the 3DS.
Mm-hmm. Without which is doing very well. It's like it's selling like free sex.
It is. Although lots of people are, you know, catching things from it. Or they feel like they're catching things from it. That's what you get with free sex.
Well, yeah, there you go. You get diseases and gauzy eyes.
Yeah.
Now, next of all, I just want to know, Phil, what do you think of Chad Warden on the Old Veteran Gamers podcast?
I think he's, you know, I haven't really looked at any of his stuff. I've just listened to what Duke plays.
That is pretty much what his stuff is.
Yeah.
That's what Duke plays. It's snippets of it, highlights of his videos.
I did have a quick look earlier. I looked him up on YouTube, and there are lots of people re-editing his words to say something completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a, you know, he looks like a teenage kid just mouthing off, to be honest, you know, PlayStation fanboy.
He is funny, though, and he's become part of the actual family over there as well. I was listening to their recent podcast today, and Duke's playing his Chad Warden sound effects, and Chinny's like, shut up, Chad, shut up, and it's quite funny, like as if he's sat there. I hope one day, because he's a gamer, I hope he stumbles across that podcast and hears himself all on the every week in, week out.
I did hear that he'd actually heard about the veteran gamers, and that use him quite a bit, but I don't know what his reaction was. I think it's hilarious. I mean, I have to say, I do love Duke's sound bites.
Yeah, I do. I think it's hilarious. And I love his anger as well. Oh, my God!
Although I was very angry at his so-called April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very, very saddened and angry by that as well. But I didn't find out until his It Was Only a Joke came out. So I didn't really feel the burn, because I just scrolled up and saw that he was coming back. I was like, oh, all right, cool. Now, what's your most embarrassing game that you play? The game that you're a bit ashamed to admit that you play, but you really enjoy?
Couple of games. Recently,
a
been,
couple.
Yeah, I know. Recently been playing James Cameron's Avatar.
Right.
Which, for a movie tie-in, isn't that bad. Plot is pretty non-existent, but you do get to play the game through twice as the two factions.
All right.
So it's not hugely bad. I became virtually addicted to Just Cause 2.
I still need to pick that game up. I played the first one, and it's just the first one with stuff to do.
Yeah, it's just huge, and you just get lost in it. And I'm about 2 hours away from getting all 50 achievements on it.
Oh wow! So,
and that's taken, I think, a few days worth of gaming.
Well, yeah, I mean, open world games, most of them anyway, the achievements do take a lot of effort.
Yeah. And finally, I suppose it's not a game I'm embarrassed to play, but a game that is embarrassing for me to play, and that's Dance Central.
Dance Central?
Yeah, on the Kinect. So yeah. Me boogieing to Poker Face, actually, Lady Gaga,
there you go.
Is a sight to be seen.
You'll have to when I'm sure it'll be there one day. When Kinect can record and upload to YouTube, you'll have to be on that day one.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Are you as bad as Stu playing on his Kinect in your undies?
No, I'm not that bad.
I can't believe he admitted that. I sit there in my underpants playing my games. Right, well, I think that about wraps it up, to be honest, Phil. We've gone through the questions. Just last of all, if you had a multiplayer game that you loved, so let's say Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
If DICE and EA came out and said, right, it's going to cost a fiver a month to play this game from now on, would you be willing to pay it?
No.
No?
Not at all. I'm not that that desperate to play it. I think as I'm paying the fee for Xbox Live, I think I'll probably stick well away from it. There's plenty of other games that I can crack on with.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people see as, you know, PC games like Battlefield, games that come from PC, you know, multiplayer is always free. And, you know, especially games like popular games like Battlefield and Call of Duty, it's free to play on PC. So to charge for 360 and stuff, I think it's something that Activision has said openly that it's something that they're looking into for Call of Duty. And they're going to make millions, aren't they? Because they're, like we were saying before, those addicts that just play nothing but Call of Duty will be willing to pay that, plus their Xbox Live fee.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think it'll definitely work. I think people will pay it, but I personally, you know, would keep away from it.
Well, yeah, I mean, for people like us, you know, not so much casual gamers, but people that play all kinds of games, if they charge, they just play something else instead. If I can't play Bad Company 2, I'll play Call of Duty, or if I can't play Call of Duty, I'll play Medal of Honor, or, you know, tit for tat, really.
Exactly.
There you go. Do you like racing games, Phil?
I do. I don't play them often as much as I should. I've got Forza 3, and I think I've only been online once playing it.
All right. Did you play with the gaming for the elderly and get smashed a bit like I have, bastards?
No, I've kept well away from them. I quite like my paintwork, so I don't want it wrecked. But it's just something I haven't got around to. I keep seeing the guys online sort of Friday nights, Saturday mornings. I keep thinking, oh, I ought to jump in. But it's a bit daunting, and it shouldn't be really, because the guys are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're pros, you know, as it were. They're almost hardcore, like, they're really into their racing. Like, I've tried some of their times and some of their, you know, hot laps and stuff, and I can't even get close, and I'm pretty good at racing games. Well, I think, anyway. I've never shown it on the boards, because, like I said, I get bashed into the wall every time I race. Usually by Skulldugger, I think he plays.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Him or Greg, you know, dodgy Californian people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, Phil. I think we've come to the end of the road here. We're going to part our ways and go our separate ways in life. Have you got any shout-outs for the community?
Shout-outs to everyone on the Gate community, also on the veteran gamers. David the Alien, I know he likes his voice being mentioned 50,000 times.
That's become an private joke, hasn't it?
Yeah.
An inside joke with the community.
We have quite a bit of banter between on the True Achievement site and on Twitter. Also to the guys on the AMP podcast. That's the film podcast. So Adroxki from the site, from the Gate community, runs that one.
So is it... You used to do Thumbsticks? Did you used to listen to that one?
No, I didn't. So I got into... I started following the AMP podcasts about a year ago now.
All right. Good stuff. Any more shout-outs? You're free to speak for as long as you like. Shout-out everyone who's on the boards.
No, I think that's it. I mean, shout-out to Duke for probably the funniest moment on the multiplayer I've ever had. We were playing Black Ops, and I think it was one of the play dates, actually. We were playing Black Ops, and his dog suddenly threw up, and Shinny and I were just wetting ourselves laughing. I know we shouldn't, but it was really, really funny.
I bet he was like, oh my God, why?
That's it.
Thank you very much for coming today, Phil. We got around to it.
Well, thanks to you guys for doing such a great job and, promoting the community and doing a really good podcast.
No, we appreciate it. You know, I'd like to be there more often than I like, but time constraints. And like I said, Greg, you know, because he's 8 hours behind and we have to record at like 4 a.m. It's not 4 a.m, it's something like that. Anyway, yeah, shout out to, I'm going to shout out the community and everyone on the forums. There's a lot of G4TE folks on Twitter as well, guys. If you're listening and you want to get to know everyone else better, there's quite a few people on Twitter, like Phil and David the Alien and Skulldugger tweets about everything. I've just gone for a piss, right? And just be sure to tune in next week for another show of the Overseas Connection, and check out vghub.net, Gamesman, and all them fine podcasts over there. And thank you very much for coming today, Phil. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, toodle pip.
This interview was not endorsed, sponsored by, or affiliated with the Snickers or Snickers brand. Go grab a Snickers!
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, we have Halo. And in this corner, we have Call of Duty. Let's get it started. we done did it now. COD and Halo, it's about to go down. It's time to decide which one's the better game. One will take the crown while the others put the shame. A decision like this could drive a man insane, cause it starts with a spark, then bursts into a flame. There's two different sides, which one do you play? Which one do you play? Yo, what up, boys and girls? Hey, it's me, Brightside. Somebody call 911, man, this track is on fire. Halo or Call of Duty, which one's a better game? You might as well be comparing Eminem to Lil Wayne. But in my opinion, I'd rather play COD, cause Halo is just a bit too cartoony for me. I'm a big boy, and when I game, I wanna feel like I'm not watching Nick Jr., like I'm playing something real.
What's up, boys and girls? Yes, it's me, Euphorix. I'm here to make this track just a little less boring. I'm a fan of Halo. It takes more skill. Two shots to the body versus five for the kill. When it comes to shooters, you know what they say, right? That you should never bring a knife to a gunfight. You got a knife, I got a sword and a pro pipe. I'll EMP a team that needs the lead. Get a slice and dice.
Oh, we done did it now. COD and Halo, it's about to go down. It's time to decide which one's the better game. One will take the crown while the others put the shame. A decision like this could drive a man insane, cause it starts with a spark, then bursts into a flame. There's two different sides, which one do you play? Which one do you play? Okay, you fools, I appreciate just what you're trying to say, but I gotta disagree with you. COD is the better game. In Halo, they give medals. Wow, medals, that's cool. I remember getting stickers back in elementary school. In COD, they give killstreaks. You gotta be pro to call in attack dogs, UAVs, and payloads. Speaking of being pro, COD's much more fun to watch. Watching Halo gameplay is like watching connect the dots.
Killstreaks, how awesome. We free kills. How about we fight for map control? That takes more skill. Oh, wow, you get a radar that shows enemy position. You get no radar playing the Slayer Pro Edition. No clone, no perks, and certainly no mini-map. Just you, your team, and the DMR. Can you handle that? Now listen up, man. I don't mean to preach, but when it comes to great games, I gotta pick Halo Reach.
Oh, we done did it now. COD and Halo, it's about to go down. It's time to decide which one's the better game. One will take the crown while the others put the shame. A decision like this could drive a man insane, cause it starts with a spark, then bursts into a flame. There's two different sides. Which one do you play? Which one do you play?
Quiz time! Quiz time! Quiz time! It's quiz time!
We are back from the break, and yes, it's quiz time.
Yeah.
So, a few weeks back, actually, Mr. Spitfire Ian sent us another quiz, but due to the fact that I was gone and Chris was gone, and it was just the two of you, I guess. Didn't really make much sense to have a quiz between two people. Not quite as fun. So, hey, we're doing the quiz. Sweet. And changing up the format.
Okay.
I think I've got a formula that will work ish. So, each one of you, I'll be giving you a question. You will have the opportunity to answer it. If you answer it correctly, you get a point. If you don't answer it correctly, the other person has a chance to steal that point from you.
Steal.
Yes. Theft. We like theft. All right. So, Rich, you are up first. And hopefully I can pull this off seamlessly and seem like I am a professional doing this. So, your first question, Rich.
What buzzer noise have I got?
No.
Your voice. Your fucking voice.
Yes. Okay. No points for that, though.
Okay.
What is the connection between 007, Dmitry Petrenko, and Sergeant Paul Jackson? Yes.
They've all been in more than one video game.
No. Although I like the effort. Mike.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. Well.
You have to steal.
They're all, Dmitry Petkov is the guy from Call of Duty. That's all I know. Well, obviously, 007, I don't know who Sergeant Paul Jackson is. Oh, maybe I do. They've all been in the same game together. They've all been in Call of Duty. Oh, no, no, between 007. Ah, oh, they've all been in the James Bond game. All those voice actors. Ah, those two, I don't know. Those two voice actors have been in the James Bond game or something like that.
You or know, in the film. You had almost the right kind of thought, but no, you were wrong.
Okay.
So here we go. The answer, 007 was from Quantum of Solace. Dmitry Petrenko was from World at War. And Paul Jackson was from Modern Warfare.
Yes.
All three games used the COD 4 engine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was...
No, that was...
They're all video games.
All right. Mike, you are up next.
Cool.
Here's your question. In Battlefield 1943, Murphy's Law is missing an achievement... Which one is it from of these three? Is it from... Sorry, which of these three is it from...
You've got to say the name. These are all achievements.
Yes, so yes, yes. These are all achievements. Which one am I missing? Sorry, the question was worded a little improperly. Still love you, Spitfire Ian. So which of these achievements am I, in fact, missing from Battlefield 1943? Is it Tour of Duty 2? Veteran? Or Motorman?
I will go with Tour of Duty 2 because that is the last one I got, and I believe that's 100 games.
And your answer would be...
Are you checking your game attack?
No, it is Tour of Duty 2.
Ah, correct. Yeah, brilliant.
No, I had switched up the order of the question, so I had to scroll to find the correct answer.
See,
I wasn't quite seamless with that, was I? No.
Yeah.
Okay, on to and good job, Mike. Clap, clap, clap. You get a point.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
But Rich, fear not. You have multiple opportunities here to get points. So for each of these, Rich, you get the opportunity to answer it. And Mike, you would have the opportunity to steal it. And then we will be having a question to Mike, which will basically reverse out. It has multiple answers. Rich, you would have opportunity to steal. So here we go. Rich, can you name the game these achievements come from and who has got each one?
God.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so first one is Girl Power.
That's, could it be something to do with a female protagonist? You played that game Wet, didn't you, Mike?
I have played Wet, yes.
Break out the timer in a second.
The known fact about Rich, he used to slide down a hill. Dog! Yeah, well, sorry,
Rich, go ahead.
You've got... Do you play Mirror's Edge?
Are you speaking to me?
No, I'm not speaking to you. You're the host. You're not even in my mind frame. I'm just thinking of Mike. As I often do. Wet. I'm going for Wet. Wet.
You are incorrect. Mike.
I thought it might be.
Chance to steal.
Bomberman.
Four.
What do you mean?
Who? So you have to name which of the hosts and the game.
Oh, me.
You are wrong.
What?
Girl Power.
Have I not got that?
No, you do not. Skulldugger has it, though, for Viva Pinata.
Oh, bugger.
I thought that was a Bomberman.
No.
I was so sure that was Bomberman.
All right, next up, Rich. Who and what game is Tournament of Chumps?
Did you get Connectimals?
I did not get Connectimals. I would just like to point out this time I'm so happy to be the host of this quiz.
Tournament of Chums. I think Chris is the one with the dog into. So I'm going to take a stab at Chris and one of his cheap ass achievement whoring games. So Christopher Matthew, and I'll say, I don't know. Dogs. I don't really know.
I don't really know.
Do we get half a point if it is Chris?
I give you a half.
Seems I've not scored anything yet.
I might give you a half a point. How's that?
I'm going to go Chris and Matthew, and I'm going to say, some sort of wacky childlike racing game. And I'm not bothered. I don't know.
So I'm not giving you any kind of point scoring yet. Mike, no. You do have a chance to steal. It may just be for half a point. It could be for a full point. Mike, what's your response? What's your answer?
I have this achievement.
Okay.
And it's Wallace and Gromit.
Mike gets the full point.
Bang.
Chinny for Wallace and Gromit.
I don't know how
you can do that without bloody gamer cards.
This is
ridiculous.
It's tough. But Skull, you had the opportunity to get your own.
I'm so sure Girl Power is fucking improbable. I'm so sure I've got that.
Okay. Last one, Rich.
It wouldn't matter to me anyway because I press gang my kids into achievement whore in that game for me. anything I did in that game was
now
good.
Now it all makes sense. Alright, Rich. Last one for you. The achievement is help. I need somebody.
Oh, I'm going to go for something easy. I'm going to go Mike Chinn, Beatles Rock Band.
That is incorrect. Mike, opportunity to steal.
That was my guess. I do remember seeing this achievement, but I thought it was Beatles Rock Band. So it must be a game that I've got. I don't know if I've got the achievement. I don't know. I saw it. I remember seeing it. Did I see it in the menus or did it pop up? It's got to be a game. I don't know. I couldn't even guess. I don't know what it is. I was going to say Beatles Rock Band. I don't know.
Can I just say, in comparison to these questions we've just answered, that the next three are a piece of piss.
there'll be an evening, Mr. Primrose. Don't worry.
I'll take a guess. Who got it? I'll say Chris has got this one.
He did indeed. It was CPM, A World of Keflings.
All
so,
right.
Mike, I will give you a half point.
Yeah.
But given the disparity between those questions and the next three sets of questions,
oh man,
the first question I'm giving to Mr. Primrose. So, Mr. Primrose, can you name the games these quotes are coming from? So, first question comes to you, Mr. Primrose. The cake is a lie.
Portal.
There you go. Rich on the board with a point.
I could have been Borderlands. They say that in Borderlands.
Yeah. All right.
No, I don't know.
Mike, you're up
now. Yep.
A man chooses, a slave obeys.
BioShock.
Boom! Wow. Look at you. And last question.
Mario.
Oh, to me!
Come on, though. It's like, sorry, but the princess is in another castle. I mean, like, who's not going to get that?
Then I'm giving Chris, or Rich the point.
He could have it. He was going to get it. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Quiz is over.
believe how ridiculously easy they were.
there was a little disparity there, but you know,
there's no way Rich was not gonna. What was he gonna say? Look, Zelda. Ah. It could have been Princess Zelda.
You never know. It could have been. All right, that does it for the quiz. Again, Spitfire Ian, thank you for sending that out to us. But hey, I've got a bonus question for you guys.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Smurf Racer, released in April 2001, was also known as 321 Smurf in Europe. What platform was it released on? Rich, winner take all.
Really?
Really?
You're pointing a question like this to me.
Smurf herding
expert.
Yes.
I'm going to say, purely based on the data, that I'm going to go for PlayStation, original PlayStation.
And you win. Just like that. Come from behind.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I lost. Yeah.
I didn't even get a chance.
Ka-ching.
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. I mean, anybody that knows Smurf Racing deserves to win.
True.
All right. True. Let's carry on. I think it's time we jump into a little community mailbag.
Da-da,
yeah.
Da-da,
da-da. Come on, my bug.
Deck the mail, Pop.
Yep, deck the mail, Pip.
Yep, any mail for us?
I think I like yours better, Rich.
Rich, what the hell?
Come on, my bug. That's VG's new one.
Is
it? The deep voice bloke, yeah.
Oh.
The one that...
Da-da-dun. Da-da-dun. Mail.
Yeah, maybe we'll leave up the trailing creation to trailing creation. That's good English on my part. All right.
Hello, my name is Greg.
Let's get into the community mailbag. Skull, help me out here.
No.
Yeah, trailing creation. That's a snail, isn't it? Anyway, yeah. Question of the week was: give us your celebrity game endorsements. So. Anything for a laugh. What celebrities would you have endorsing what games? Yeah, so, to pass it around. Mike?
Oh, I don't know. Come back to me, I don't know.
Yeah, we may have to go to the community first and then come back to us.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, we had a lot of tweets, so I'll just go through them.
All right.
Stan Laurel presents Bulletstorm 2 Stompfest.
Brilliant.
That was from Mark Davis, XL2381.
Sorry, I just read one of Phil's. Phil's is my villa.
Yeah. Yes. We had Gary Singington, which is Johnny Fortpants 5. Oh, sorry, Johnny Fortpants. Paul Daniels in Mass Effect 3.
That's magic!
That was very obscure, but it made me laugh. I like that.
That's biotics.
Yeah.
That's Mass Effect. And on and on and on.
Yeah, and then we had from Phil Olson, he gave
Can
us
I
a
Can I read
rap.
The next one out? But, this one's funny. Yeah,
yes, go for it.
Yeah. I'll read Phil Filthy said Wayne Rooney for Super Monkey Ball. Brilliant. Like that one. Carry on, Rich.
No, keep going, Mike. That. Keep going. Just read
them
all.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Village People for the next Red Dead Redemption. And the cast... I just read this. The cast of the Alleyways Essex, which is kind of like the Jersey Shore of the UK. No, it's like The Hills.
Okay.
It's terrible. Well, The Hills is terrible.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's like The Hills, but the UK version. And they promote Left 4 Dead. And also Charlie Sheen for Leisure Suit Larry.
That is actually really perfect.
Winning. I think Charlie Sheen should do... this is mine. Charlie Sheen for World of Warcraft. Because he's also always talking about the warlocks and the trolls.
That's pretty good. Skull, I think you had a few.
I did a couple on the... Yeah.
Sorry, I just did marks. Oh, that's so lost on you, Greg. Oh, we'll
yes.
get that. Rich,
we'll
sorry,
get to
yes.
that in a second.
Yeah, mine was a bit more English and Scottish centric. I had Billy Connolly and also Ross Noble for Borderlands.
Greg, do you know any of those guys?
Billy Connolly, I know, but I don't. I'm not drawing that connection.
Yeah, he's from Scotland. Yeah, and Ross Noble's from northeast, so they'd be on the border. Yeah, borderlands.
On the borderlands.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got one. Ellen DeGeneres in Wet.
Nice.
I don't know who that is.
She would be a lesbian female comedian who actually is going to rule the United States soon enough. She's become quite popular. Kind of like the new Oprah.
Yeah.
Ellen. You mean like Ellen?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ellen.
I never knew her last name.
Well, now you do. DeGeneres.
Okay. She's going to rule America?
She probably is.
Why?
She's better than everybody else. Skull, did you have any others you wanted to throw in there?
No, I had a few more on the forum, but I can't remember what they were.
Alright, well let me jump in. We had a couple forums, forum posts here. So there was Marcanix. He had David Dickinson, the Orange Box. Orange, get it?
Loves. David Dickinson hosts a kind of TV auction show where they find crap in people's houses and then they auction it off and it's actually worth something. Or they go around an auction market and see if they can find something valuable. And he's very orange. The man has a very unusual tan and he just looks like an orange. So there you go.
Nice. Okay. And then our final entry on the forums was Cud Morrow had you in some questionable taste here. Michael Jackson, The Experience, Macaulay Culkin.
I don't think you should read the next one.
Yeah,
you should. I think you should, but don't. I'm not going to laugh.
Bear with us, those in the UK. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. And, we'll just let you draw the inferences of...
I don't think you were meant to read that.
No.
What?
Uh-oh, controversial.
Uh-oh.
The Michael Jackson one, that's fine, but you can't read the Need for Speed one. You can't do that. No.
I was just going off what was in the forums.
She's a treasure, you know? You can't diss her.
Yeah, okay.
She's just a gem. Skull intervene.
Yeah. Was there some more there? We did get some more, didn't we?
Did these come onto the forums after I pulled?
I'm going to read them because this is very slowly going.
No, wait, hold on, real quick. This is now a bit of controversy because I actually these were the only forum posts I saw. So were there more?
Yeah, there's some more. You're reading off the notes. We're reading off the forum.
Okay.
I'm reading off the notes. I'm reading the Google Docs.
Okay.
Good Morrow said Ghost Recon. And Casper should be promoting that. Get it? Ghost.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Plants vs. Zombies, Alan Titchmarsh. Alan Titchmarsh was from a gardening program, Greg. Get it?
Okay. Yeah.
And he also hates video games. And Angry Birds. And those ladies who present Loose Women, which is an afternoon show where a bunch of women just kind of moan about stuff. Angry Birds.
Yes.
Very good.
I see a bit of the controversy, what I missed. So, yes, Skull, I guess I should have checked the forums one last time before posting into the notes because apparently there had been some editing and in the justification of good taste, which obviously I did not display. So,
Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin promoting Michael Jackson, The Experience. That's pretty funny. I don't want people reading it. The other one, Need for Speed, obviously, you can never know who that is.
But yeah, so, apologies all the way around. Certainly we don't mean to offend anybody. But, okay, we've got a couple more. So, Rich finishes out. Dana had a few to throw in there too.
Yes, we had Ozzy Osbourne for Flashback. Yep. Bob Carroll G's for Nintendogs. For Greg, who doesn't know that, he was a puppeteer that basically put all of his arm up the ass of a dog and made the dog spit. Dog was called Spit, and he just spat all the time. Yeah. George Romero and Charlie Dimmock as Plants vs. Zombies. I like that. That's good.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Charlie Dimmock, yeah, bless her. Right, yeah.
All right.
Where's she gone, Jolly Dimmick? Is she still around?
I don't know. I wonder if she had a boob job yet.
I don't think she needed a boob job. She just needed a bra. That's what she needed.
That's what a boob job is, isn't it?
Well, in some cases, yeah. Works wonders, that's bra.
All right. Let's move on.
Mercy.
Yes, mercy. We are done with the community feedback. Send all your complaints to Mike. Not me.
What? What did I do?
You didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to get tons of complaints. I'm going to get hate mail. I can see.
You won't.
The entire island nation, known as my maiden.
I don't know what it's like over. I don't know what it's like over in the UK. In America, but in the UK, when somebody famous dies, right? The way I find about how somebody famous dies, I get a joke on my phone through text messages. That's how, and I hate them, but that's how I found out people die.
Honestly,
it's mad.
All right, I'm going to take over for community play dates since Mr. Matthew is not here.
Community play dates. If you want to know what to play, check this bit of the podcast.
We're just off the rails at this point.
Yeah, we're off the rails.
All right. So play dates. We've got, of course, Friday Night Races. It's pretty much a mainstay over at the Gate community. So Friday Night Races. I don't know what they're going to be racing this week. But I do know on Saturday the 23rd, they're going to be doing a Shift 2 multiplayer playdate. So get your race Forza. On. Is it Forza this week? Forza is pretty – I mean, if you've got Forza –
I think it was Forza last week, wasn't it?
Yeah. But if you've got Forza, you're almost assured to find a race over the weekend with the Gate community. Big racing community and a big shooting community. So, I mean, you know, hey, racing and shooting. Are you sure you guys aren't all from the U.S., especially like Texas? Gun racks.
There's plenty of racing and shooting in the U.K.
Pa-ching!
Veteran Gamers Playdate is a typical Sunday game time 6 GMT, which, what does this stand for again?
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, because I always want to say Gross Mean Time, and I know that's not right. Greenwich Mean Time. Mike, what is the playdate? What do you guys play?
The playdate this week is Section 8. Is it Prejudiced? The new
I love it. Yes, Section 8.
If you don't know, it's a bit of an in-joke. Duke Scath from the Veteran Gamers absolutely loves the first Section 8 game. So not only is he jizzing his pants over Portal 2, Section 8 is a pretty big event for him. He's not joking. He actually likes the first game. So it's an arcade game, so you'll have to buy it on the XBLAs. It's on the 360. Yeah, Section 8. Sunday, GMT.
You might be able to get away with just getting the trial. If I remember correctly, last time, the trial let you... 60-minute
trial or something?
Yeah, it was like a 60-minute trial. So
you might
be able to get away with not having to buy it.
Download the trial, and if it's a 60-minute trial, then don't play it.
Play it.
Everybody start it now!
Yeah. Wait until Sunday, and people will be playing it Sunday, and if you want to keep it by it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Birthdays.
Today's can I just birthday. Proposal. I noticed one of our...
I'm a married man, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't...
And I'm not interested.
Proposal to me.
I'm going to kick your back doors in. No. I would like to suggest that after seeing Extal on Monday Night Combat, and I know that we've had one previously on one of Christopher Matthews' Saturday afternoon shooters, I think I'm going to start a thread up and see if anybody wants to do a Monday Night Combat. Just to
play that.
Go back to that, yeah. Because it's had the big patch on it and everything. So maps with it, yeah, so... May as well check it out. Do it like Battlefield, where you go back
and... How much is that? That's 1,200, right? That was the Summer of Arcade, wasn't it, that?
Yeah, it did have a reduction. I don't know if it kept a reduction or not, but...
Doubted. Doesn't sound like something Microsoft would do.
Let's wrap this thing up. We've got Tainted Being. Happy birthday. Dirty Larry.
That's Daniel's brother.
Oh, there you go. Happy birthday, Daniel's brother. Greasy Fish Lips has birthday this week.
He had a birthday last week.
I gave him one last week as well. He's had two birthdays.
Oh, he's got birthdays.
Yeah, he's the queen. He's got two birthdays.
Yeah. Smart man. And last but not least, Zafool.
Zafool.
Yep. Everybody turned 21 this week. Awesome.
Yep. Congrats.
New members this week. We've got Bagham Assassin, Baked Broil Jr., Epically Skilled, and Anti-Globalist. All new members, welcome to the gate. And, enjoy your time.
Oh, I can't believe what I've just done.
I can't believe it either. What have you done?
Well, I've been podcasting, I've been biting my nails, yeah? And putting them in my can that I was drinking out of. And I just tried
You have finished with that can.
Yeah.
No, but he forgot. I guarantee you, he forgot. He was putting his nails in there. How do they taste, Rich?
Not nice.
All right. Closing notes. Mike, if you're going to email the show and ask about fingernails and soda cans.
Good job it wasn't toenails, was it?
I know. Oh, I know.
Is there really a big difference?
If you want to. Yeah, I think so.
There's a world of difference.
There used to be a cartoon on Nickelodeon called Real Monsters, and toenails were like gold to them. So they used to go on the surface, and they used to go, oh, toenails. And it was like gold. It was like currency. I used to love that show. Anyway. Look it up, Real Monsters. Great cartoon. Okay. Email the show, ocpodcast@gmail.com, if you want to prove that Real Monsters cartoon was real and I wasn't obsessed by toenails, then email the show and make me look sane at ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you wanted to maybe send us a Twitter about your obsession of biting your nails and spitting them into cans, Rich, and drinking, yes, definitely, and drinking them, where would you send that Twitter to?
It'd be @OC_podcast.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see the Twitters. Hey, iTunes and Zune reviews. I know we didn't go through them this week, probably because there were none. But, hey, we want more.
Yes, we do.
We really don't know if there weren't any. We were too lazy to check.
But we'll give out prizes if you do them, but yes. your prize is knowledge.
No, or a specially autographed can of soda pop with...
Full of nails. Straight from Rich's hand.
It was Strongbow. It was Strongbow, not soda pop.
Oh, my bad. Strongbow, there you go.
Soda pop.
What it is that beer?
Cider.
Cider. Mm, you are a cider man. It makes sense now. Okay.
Like this podcast.
That was pretty good, Mike. Do you think you could do the whole thing? Think you can make the sound effects? If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGVG.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Come on.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. Is a great starting point for your podcast discovery. Hey, Mike, have you talked to Duke yet about doing additional sound clips for us? What's going on?
Duke is a very busy man.
Yeah, I hear. But, you know, Chris says he's busy too. We all know the truth. They're both playing Portal 2 right now.
And they're both teachers.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Teachers just pretend to be busy.
Yeah.
A lot of bollocks. All right, I was just going to write a post-it note about it. Then I saw the post-it note that I wrote for tonight that I was meant to ask Rich. So these post-it notes are not really doing the right thing.
No.
But I'll still write a post-it note about it. Post-it notes.
Post-it notes. Love them.
Ask Duke to make clips for show.
And Duke, if you really don't have time, we know. We get it.
We know.
No guilt. Seriously, none at all. Hey, shout-outs. So I'll start it off. Quick shout-out to – I want to shout-out to Bongo the Sane for completely faking out Mr. Richard Primrose and making him think he had a Gears of War beta code for this week.
Oh, don't let me go into that one.
a in case you missed Rich's twits over the weekend, he loaded up the Gears of War beta code thinking he was in this week, and he gets this coming soon message. What's that business all about?
But yeah, in like Flynn, not.
Yeah, well, you will be.
Are you getting in, Greg?
Yeah, I'm in next week, not this week.
I'm in next week.
Because I bought the wrong thing, apparently, you know. God knows, you know, if you – the Gears of War 3, you know, beta, you'd think, you buy the Gears of War 3 game, pre-order it, you should be getting into the beta. Nope. Epic wants to be greedy. They want you to buy a completely different game. That's kind of similar to how Microsoft pulled off.
Is it like a limited edition version?
Well, yeah, it was the old Bulletstorm. You bought Bulletstorm, the Epic Edition, I think it was, and it had Gears of War 3 beta, and it got you in a week earlier than if you pre-ordered the game through GameStop. Either way, they were both kind of crooked, slimy deals, but all the companies are doing it, so I can't really fault Epic so much as just the industry. It irritates me when I see companies pulling these kinds of things, or quite honestly, I'm not real happy with Rockstar because there's a little shenanigans with L.A. Noire. I don't know if you've seen the latest on that, but at least here in the States, the PS3 has its own exclusive mission.
Yes,
off the desk, and that's fine. You know what? I get exclusivity to the consoles, but there's also an exclusive mission for GameStop. If you buy the game through GameStop, you'll get their exclusive mission. And there's also one, I believe, for Walmart. So if you buy the game from Walmart, you get their exclusive mission.
Oh, my God.
And to me, it feels like, you know what, they're purposely, you know, breaking up the game. You're screwing the consumer because nobody's going to go out and buy all three editions or at minimum two different versions of the game just to get these different missions.
And you know for a fact they'll sell them as DLC later on anyway.
Yeah. And you know from a fact day one that they're made and they're out there. It just... It's getting a little ridiculous, so, yeah.
I mean, I'm not too worried about that kind of thing because I know that they release them anyway after a while.
Yeah.
So if I really want to play them, which I will, obviously, but I'll just buy them.
And if they are anything like what we've seen with some of the other games, then I'm not overly worried about it. Rich, knock it off. Rich.
Sorry.
Shooting Mario. By the way, for those that don't know, Rich has a little Nerf gun right now. He's a little dart gun. He keeps shooting Mario on the TV. Yep. That's his thing. Anyway.
What's he done to you lately?
He shot Mario. But yeah, so I don't know where I was really going with it. Oh, yeah, the mission add-ons typically aren't that big of a deal. They kind of are made to be this huge deal, and then when you actually play them, they're far less than what...
They're usually pretty sure, and they just release them as DLC anyway. I've just looked at what I just went to the three kind of biggest kind of retailers. Maybe there's another one that I do, but it's usually Play.com I do a lot of exclusive stuff. You know what I mean? They always have bonus content, like a free shirt or a free mission. And if you buy L.A. Noire for the 360, you get the slip of the tongue case. The bonus mission there, and at the soundtrack download, and if you buy it at Game, which is like the brick and mortar store, but if you buy it from Game, it's the Naked City bonus case. So, yeah, I think I don't know myself. If I was to pick one, I'd probably pick.
Well, that's the other hard thing is, how do you know which one to pick?
I'd probably pick the Play.com one because it comes with the soundtrack. And that's you know that's probably something you couldn't download. So, you know, I'll probably put that one in and just download the Naked City when they release it on DLC.
All right, enough of that rant. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Shoutouts. Let's wrap this.
Shoutouts to Bongo the same because Bongo went to the Gadget Show in Birmingham, which is there's a TV show in the UK, Greg, called the Gadget Show, and they talk about all sorts of gadgets and things. It's a really good show. It's great. You should watch it on YouTube if you can.
I love gadgets.
Yeah, and they do all sorts of things like...
They've got the best competition ever.
Yeah, well, they give away everything. But they do things like they test like sat phones, you know, those like satellite phones, and they go to like the most remote places and they race like the best vehicles for sand. So they go to like the Sahara Desert and like just race these crazy sand vehicles, all sorts of shit like that.
Nice.
I think it's like It's like Top Gear, but gadgets.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I think you'd really like it. But they do a show. They do a show in Birmingham. And Bongo was there. And not only was he there, I was there 2 years ago, by the way. But he was there this year. And he was wearing the Veteran Gamers t-shirt as well. And he was rocking the t-shirt. And I think he was with his son. And they was both there. And his son wasn't wearing a Veteran Gamers t-shirt. So he's not my friend anymore. But Bongo is. So thanks, Bongo, for rocking that. Also, shout out to GH Rocker. He sent me an invite to Borderlands. I was doing something else at the time. I apologise, Antonio. But I will only play Borderlands at the moment with my friend Ben. So, you know, if you're around when Ben's around, then you're welcome to join him. But I'm not going to cheat on him. So, sorry. And that's it. Shout-outs from me.
All right. Rich. Wrap us up.
Yeah. Shout-out to Cliffy B for sending us, oh no, not sending us any prize codes for Gears of War Beta. We did offer to lick your wellies for a week. And you just shunned us. Shout out to my mum, because everybody loves mums, don't they?
They do. And we love your mum. Yeah. But you'll hear more of that soon. Hint.
Huh.
Hint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it for you, Rich?
I'm done. Yeah.
All right. Hey,
I'm finished.
Hey, here's a fine quote to wrap this up, especially after that loving little mother shout out.
Gotta love the mothers.
Yeah. This actually has nothing to do with mothers. I just want to put that down there so Rich doesn't get mad at me. It's actually from the Newlywed Game. Gotta love the Newlywed Game. They had all kinds of great quotes. Bob Eubanks, the host, was talking to the wife. And said, how long will your husband say his inseam is? Her response, 7 inches.
Ah.
We're done. We're out of here.
Mine's 3 inches from the floor. Bang.
See ya.
Peace. See ya. Stop shooting your gun.
Hey, did you guys hear Pamela say this call is being recorded?
Yeah, I heard the bitch.
You heard her too, Skull? Alright.
Yep.
She said nothing on my end.
Right, I'm going to hand over to my mummy now then.
Hand over to you?
What's your mum?
I'm
going to
go make her.
It's Mother Duggar.
Yeah, it's Mother Duggar. That's her name.
Mother Doug.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello, right, Kathleen.
I'll tell you what, I could tell that you're Rich's mom by your voice straight away.
Can you?
Yeah, totally. Oh, bless. What has he made you do going on a strange podcast with two fellas that you don't know?
It's my son. He's the one who says I've got to talk to you.
Dish some dirt about Rich quickly.
Yeah, we honestly, Kathleen, we don't care at all about what you think about the video games. I mean, we do, but we really want to hear some dirt on Rich. Has he ever fallen?
No, he's a good lad.
What was he like?
Oh, no. He was a bit of a devil when he was little.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yes. He used to get into some scrapes now and again.
So he liked the little fisticuffs.
Did he? I bet he did. You got any funny stories about Rich?
No, not really. I mean, to say, we used to have a Staffordshire Bull, which that he used to, when it used to snow and that, they used to slide on a piece of cardboard right down the hill together.
So, yeah. Kathleen, can I ask you, has Rich ever, you know, maybe as a young boy or maybe even just early on in his adulthood, has he ever fallen asleep, like, kind of mid-talking or maybe during a late night, just right into a bowl of food or anything like that?
No, he's never done that, no.
No, not even as a little kid.
Podcast.
Yes.
He has done it on this podcast. He fell asleep halfway through recording the album.
Right. The thing is, sometimes if he's had a couple of bevvies, you know, something to drink and that, he does nod off.
The three games that you picked for Rich are some of like the best games that have ever been made in the last 2 years.
What I see on the television, I think to myself, oh, that's a bit exciting and that, and that's why I just go out and buy it.
Yeah.
Now, we know you've seen Dead Space 2.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the advertising for Dead Space 2 said, your mother is going to hate this game. So the question to us, to you, is did you hate what you saw?
No. No, I didn't. I thought it was quite good. It was interesting and that. And, I mean, it's a... You see, I like spooky films and things like that, you see.
So, right, so Dead Space is right up your street. And...
Yeah, it doesn't bother me one bit with things like that. Well, that's true. I mean, to say, I'm 63, and I mean, to say, I enjoy cycling and things like that, and even playing with the bands, you know, that's children.
Yeah. You're well rounded.
Yes.
More people need to be like you.
Well, that's what keeps you young at heart.
Very true.
Very true.
Very true. Has he got you a cup of tea? Yes, he said he was going to make you a cup of tea.
Yes, he's made me a cup of tea. Yeah.
Did he put in a little extra nip into that, or is it just straight tea?
No, I'm more or less teetotal. Just now and again, I have a drop of brandy.
Yeah,
there we go.
And I get terrible hangovers with one glass of brandy.
No, well, with a son like Rich, you can't really afford to be, can you?
It's true. Yeah.
He's okay.
He is okay. We appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And
yes, and thank you very much.
And we won't hold it against you that you didn't give us any, like, dirty secrets on Rich, but we get that. You know, he's a good kid. We get that.
He is. He's a good kid. I bet your mom would be the same, though. Your mom and dad.
No, they would give all kinds of dirt on me. They'd sell me down the river.
My mom would probably just say he's a tosser. He's just a tosser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I know what tossers is.
Yeah. My mom would just say, he's a bit of a knob. But, bless Rich.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
That's
very much.
All right. Okay, then I'll put you back to my son.
I'll switch mine off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm old.
You don't vibrate?
No, I don't vibrate.
Honestly, do you switch it off?
Really?
I do, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
So my missus goes on, and you can get Google Maps on it, yeah? So it goes into Google Maps to show you where the house is. So anyway, she's on the phone to my mum, and they're jumping into Google Maps. She goes, oh, yeah, I can see your ass. She goes, oh, look, they've even put it on Street View. She goes, my mum was like, Street View? What's Street View? She goes, it actually goes down in 3D, and you can look in the windows and everything. She goes, you can look in the windows? She goes, can you see me now? I'm waving out the window. And our missus was going, no, I can't see you at the minute. Can you just move a bit closer?
Brilliant. I really couldn't do without seeing that show, but whatever.
Yeah. All right, Rich, put the gun down.
All right, gun down. Do it.
Don't have to bring your mom in. All right, here we go.